Tonight, Sunday night, Big Brother Recap is sponsored by TrueCar. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. And unfortunately, a lot of times, that's not the case. People configure these cars online only to find out later that car is not available. What? With TrueCar, you get real pricing on the actual inventory. Not just pricing offered by TrueCar, pricing offered by the actual dealer, and not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer, a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. TrueCar will help you easily find the car that you want, and then they'll show you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide. Paul is not one of them, and you never have to worry about him lying to you and telling you something that's not true either. You will also work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer contact, of course, who is not Paul, and TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy that made this same exact face as Josh when I was watching the Revengers trailer, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Sunday night Big Brother recap, the last of only two Sundays to go here in the Big Brother season. And we are set up here to talk about a lot of stuff that we learned about the double eviction. And then, of course, the new HOH on the night where Josh went back and forth and back and forth and ultimately decided not to upset the apple cart. But we will talk about it all here with our panel, of course, back with me once again. I'm sure a man who could break down everything going on in the Revengers comic book series. Brent, welcome up. Brent, how are you?
This is American Ninja Warrior. Oh, hi. No, I'm actually not Matt Eisman, so I'll just pretend to be Brent Wagman for a second, and I did really enjoy the comic bit, actually.
Yes, okay. And then, of course, back with us after the Iron Man of Big Brother has not missed a day of daily updates since Big Brother has started. Please welcome back Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going for the record.
Yes.
Perfect attendance.
Perfect attendance.
Yeah, yeah, we're all happy about that.
Yes, I'm very happy about that. excellent work on Taryn, that his circuitry has never broken down once through the entire season. So job well done. Yeah, as Brent referenced, Matt Eisman was scheduled to be with us tonight. Late cancellation. Sorry about that. Nothing that we can do on our end, but we will have a great show nonetheless here tonight to discuss a Sunday night from Big Brother. Some news that I have on my end that I hadn't had a chance to share just yet is that there was some question about the finale night coverage that I am going to be going back to the house to do interviews from the backyard once again. We did that last year, and then we were invited back this year. So I am very excited about that. And one of the things that I'd like to do with that is I know that there are a lot of questions that are out there for this cast, things that you guys definitely want to know. So what I've done is I have set up an email address to collect any questions that may not be top of mind for me to go into the interviews with everybody. So what you can do is that you can email bbfinale@robhasawebsite.com. We're going to collect your questions over the next week and a half, and then we will try to come up with the best stuff that we don't know the answer to, so we can have a full index of anything that we want to find out from these people. bbfinale@robhasawebsite.com. And so that's what we will begin to do and collect our thoughts to bring you some outstanding coverage for finale night, starting with, so are you excited for that Paul won the game? Are you guys excited about that? We'll get the answer from everybody along the way. Okay, hashtag RHAP as well to get your questions into the show tonight. And Taryn, I mentioned you've been covering this every single day. And of course, outstanding work on the daily updates. Did you learn anything tonight about the double eviction that we did not know on Thursday?
Not particularly. Definitely saw that great moment where Paul goes from crying to not crying. That was informative, I think, for some things that were happening this week. And then also the details about what happened with Josh's vote. We know that he went rogue, but we didn't know exactly how or why. So that was interesting to see.
Yeah, I love that, actually, Rob. Josh going into the storage room with Alex there, cornering Josh or Paul and Christmas and saying, look, I'm voting to evict Kevin. Y'all do what you want to do. So he let Alex know right away, look, I'm on your side. I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to respect your HOH. And you could see the look on Paul's face was like, you sure about that? Mm-hmm. I actually really liked it. And he gave it to him. He gave Paul back a little bit of his own medicine. It was very fun.
Yeah, Brent, my question is, was anything, we know that he was that Josh was fake fighting with Paul after the eviction of Jason, but then all of his crying was real because he seemed so offended that Paul wasn't really crying. But I mean, either he was really crying the whole time or he's kind of a big hypocrite as well. And I think that he wants to have his cake and eat it, too.
I think he's kind of a big hypocrite and wants to have his cake and eat it too. And he really was crying the entire time. I mean, like, it's true that Josh, from my perspective, during that entire double eviction, those were real tears. I mean, I think even his fake fight with Paul, the tears that were coming out of him were genuine. He did really feel bad.
He was channeling his real inner turmoil.
Right, so the fight itself was fake, but his inner turmoil outwardly was very real. And I do concur with you, though, that Josh, it seems to, he kind of wants to partake of Paul's masterful gameplay when it benefits him, but then on the other hand, wants to cry about it at the same time and be emotional about it. And all through this week, he's been emotional, as you can well imagine, him being head of household. So it is, as much as I am a fan of Josh, and I am, it is very frustrating watching him just cry all the time because it's so draining for me watching. It's so draining for the people in the house just covering it. I mean, like, you can only watch someone cry so much before you're just like, dude, snap out of it. And that's eventually what they said on the show.
Yeah, when we talk about Josh and how he was fake fighting, like, Josh's participation in that was, he was genuinely upset, genuinely crying. His participation in the fight was, like, just not outing Paul, essentially. Yes. He was just letting Paul yell at him. He was genuinely crying because he was upset. And then he just was like, yes, I would go after you, Paul. Just shut up. Oh, my God. I think that's where he's coming from.
Yeah. I thought Paul came from a weird angle, too, in that fight where he was like, so, would you have done that to me with that? Oh my God. I almost got voted out tonight. Oh my God. Like, it was very like, okay, well, you know, if you're supposed to be, you know, tight with Alex, like, you should have been probably annoyed that it was Whistlenut that went home if you were supposedly in an alliance, not like, oh my God, that could, if I would have been sitting in that chair, that would have happened to me. I thought that was an odd place for him to attack it, but. You know, the world does revolve around Paul.
Well, it does when you're Paul and you were the winner of the power of veto the previous week and you had the power to save one of the two nominees and he chose to save Alex to try to make it look good. So he was trying to say to Josh in front of everybody in the fake fight in that moment, you know, if I hadn't won the veto, that could have been my ass up on the block. And of course, Josh was like, I'm sorry. So that's where I feel like he's coming from. But I do agree with you that it wasn't exactly a good look when Jason's the one out the door. Alex is the one who's blindsided and Paul is like, it's all about him.
Yeah. Paul actually really had a confusing message. I feel like that when we saw him pull Alex aside and he was trying to tell her about what to do, he said to her, okay, we need to worry about, don't worry about Christmas and Josh, that there are bigger threats in this game like Raven and Kevin. and told Alex, this is what we need to be focused on, these big threats in the game, Raven and Kevin. Then when we saw Josh in the storage room with Paul and Christmas and Alex, and Josh said, I'm voting for Kevin. Paul's like, why are we worried about Kevin? What does Kevin matter? He's not like, how does it, people, especially Alex, like, the story is not consistent about what he wants.
Well, for Alex, she just hates Kevin. So, like, all Paul needs to do is say Kevin's name, and she's like, yes, Kevin. So it's very, very easy to get her
but
to
is the story,
go after Kevin.
Kevin sucks, we need to get him out, or the story, Kevin is such a is so good at this game, we need to get him out. Like, which is it? Just pick one.
It's that he's shady.
He can't be both.
And he's sketchy.
He can't be sketchy, so good, Rob. And so bad.
He gets in people's ears.
Yeah.
Although, even though he talks to no one. I concur that, this is the point in the story where I was talking with you guys, and I was like, look, Paul outed in front of Alex the fact that he voted to evict Raven because by virtue of the two of them, she was better at competitions. She was always fishtailing him in the competitions.
Fishtailing him.
Yes, she was better. And so I was hoping that Alex would pick up on that. Like, honey, he just voted to keep your mortal enemy in the house. And instead evict the woman who he saw as being his main competition in competitions. Who does that also tend to describe? And I think for a moment she did think of it, but on the other hand, during the episode, she was like, look, and I've heard this before on reality competition shows where people are like, I mean, I know I don't really, like, I think it was Gen City in 14 where she was like, I just got screwed by these people, but who else do I have to trust right now? So I remember that coming out of her mouth, and it felt like it was deja vu with Alex tonight.
Yes. I think that's the first time that Gen City has been mentioned in
I watch these episodes 14. Sometimes on YouTube, and then I bring them up because, like, I'm on the podcast like a day later, and I just I watched that double eviction where Dan was the HOH during 14, and he tried to get Ian out, and it didn't work. You know, I was watching like all of that stuff happening behind the scenes, and Jen, of course, seems to know what's going on, but she's unwilling to do anything about it and just trust the people that just screwed her over. So again, it's sort of like Alex tonight, where it's more the devil you know, and I feel like she's going with the devil she knows, even if she doesn't totally believe what Paul's selling her.
Taryn, was Gen City one of the zombies in the Revengers?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think that was, I think I spotted her in the background.
I mean, they were Dan's zombies, so it would only
the
make sense.
Director. That's right. Josh is then trying to appeal to Alex during this double eviction and trying to win her over. On the surface, I liked what he was trying to do. He said, like, hey, Paul, you got to look good on Whistlenut's way out. How come I can't get to look good on Alex's way out? Did you like what he was trying to pull off?
No, I don't. This didn't really make any sense. It really sketched out his allies, and it backfired completely because Raven ends up leaving the house thinking that Paul was the sole vote to keep her. And you know she's going to run back to that jury house, and they're going to go, no, Paul obviously orchestrated everything. He's even so good he got somebody, or maybe did it himself, to throw you a sympathy vote to convince you that he wasn't betraying you all the time. Like, this is adding to Paul's resume instead of taking away from it. I really feel like this was a completely backfired plan for Josh.
I agree that it was a little bit too much or a little bit too little. Like, I would have liked him to go fully through with the plan and say to Paul, look, you know, you got to have your way this past week, to basically say what he was saying to us in the diary room. And he never ever did that to Paul. He always talks in riddles to Paul, it seems like, sometimes, where he sort of wants to tell Paul how he's really feeling, but he's also scared of telling Paul how he's really feeling for fear of upsetting the balance of the house right now, and the fact that Josh is likely to be Paul's final two choice if they get to the final three together with Christmas. So I would have liked for him to do that. I still contend that even if he told Paul to his face, yes, I did this because I'm trying to make you look bad and I don't want to look bad in front of all of the jury members, that it would still not change his place in the house right now. But on the other hand, Josh isn't aware of that.
You know, Josh is doing a very good job in terms of making himself likable, I feel like, on the TV show. But I feel like he's doing a really bad job in the game in terms of the Hamlet. Oh, I'm so conflicted. My hands are tied. This is so morally ambiguous. What do I do? Will he or won't he? I think that making a run, I wouldn't be surprised for Josh to end up getting America's Favorite Player when Paul ultimately ends up winning the season. But I mean, it's so muddy where in terms of that he really is doing a lot to make himself look wishy-washy to the other players in the house.
Yeah, but that's been his MO all season long. I feel like Josh, in some ways, and I've been a fan of him, he has grown as a player. I feel like he's finally to the point, Taryn, maybe you'll agree with me on this, that he is finally comfortable in his own skin. Like, for a long time, I just felt like Josh was trying to keep his head above water. He just wanted to make sure he wasn't evicted. Now he's kind of to the point in the game where he has some power and some interest in trying to direct where the game goes, and he's just a little clumsy at it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, he sees what he needs to do with Paul, but obviously he's very emotional about things, and he's looking at the wrong aspect of what's wrong with Paul's game. He keeps thinking, like, Paul keeps putting all this heat on me. Everyone's going to blame me for things. I need to show them that I don't want to be doing this, that I feel bad about what I'm doing. That's what's going to get them to like me more. Then they'll vote for me in the end. But again, I feel like it's going to have an opposite effect where it just makes him look wishy-washy. It makes him look weak, like he was doing something he didn't want to do. And what he needs to do is like take a firm stance and either say, yes, I'm going along with Paul until the final three, and then I'm going to cut him because that's my gameplay. Or he needs to say, all right, I'm taking a shot at Paul right now. But the wishy-washy stuff, the crying, all of that, it's just going to make him look like he was somebody that was used. And that's the opposite of what
he wants.
I
don't know, though, but I'm sort of torn, you guys, because I feel like that on reality TV shows, you have to play into your type more than anything. And the jury knows Josh is sort of like one type of player. Like, he is this kind of guy. And for him to all of a sudden change and just start gaming the heck out of things, I don't know that they would necessarily believe that. Or accept that. I feel like maybe it's in his best interest and I don't know. I'm just positing that maybe it's in his best interest to continue on this path of just being the sweet kind of guy who goes off, you know, and rants every once in a while behind the scenes with pots and pans and is really morally conflicted about the game, because you want to know the person you're giving your vote to at the end of the game. And if you don't know the guy, I don't feel like you can give him your vote.
But I feel like that being morally conflicted in the diary room is one thing. The problem is, I think that he just keeps voicing his doubt to the people in his alliance to the point where I think that Christmas is 100% more with Paul than she is with Josh. And it's a problem for him because that he is, I think, certainly on the outside looking in that three-person alliance. I think that sort of the blueprint to go back to in terms of these shows that we cover is like the Natalie Anderson, where it's like, okay, I know that Missy, I need to get rid of her. I know that that John and Jacqueline, I need to get rid of them. But you don't ever let them know that you're thinking about getting rid of them. You want to just be sort of like the willing accomplice until the point that you can turn around and then say, no, I was actually undermining you the whole time. And then out, you know, yourself as this person who was moving behind the scenes. But when he's just like always like tipping his hand about this doubt that he has, but then and then ultimately he doesn't do anything, I think it's just very ineffective.
Yeah, and like I agree that you need to play into who you are, but I like what you're saying, Rob, is right. Like, this style of play just doesn't work to win a jury over. People don't want to think that they got beat by a guy who was too weak to stand up against somebody else. Like, they want to know that this guy had a plan, that he did it for a reason. And if he's like, I didn't want to do that, like, that was, I was forced to, they're going to just be like, then what agency did you have in the game? I know that, like, it is in him to be emotional and to express these doubts and to be very vocal, but I think he needs to be self-aware enough to dial it down and present a good case to the jury. And also, as Rob is mentioning, keep his allies happy. Like, if this was anyone but Paul, I think he would be in a lot of trouble, because it's very obvious that Paul should be cutting him here at the final four at this point.
I also think that, you know, the only real shot that he has is if the jury turns really sour against Paul, which I think is more independent of anything that Josh is doing and more dependent on just the bitterness of the jury. If the jury, for whatever reason, ends up coming away with like a major hate towards Paul, I don't think it's necessarily going to matter who's sitting next to him in the final two. So that might just be sort of like the results oriented version of this, where if it ends up where he is the winner of this season, they'll say, oh, I guess this all worked. But I think it's just going to be a factor of that the jury will have to just be sort of like scorched earth towards Paul, like a Russell Hantz Samoa situation, for everybody to decide that they want to give Josh the money over Paul. What do you think, Brent?
Oh, I don't know. I think because I feel like that there are different ways that Josh could get to the final two. I can see Josh getting to the final two without Paul, and I can see him getting to the final two with Paul. I mean, if it says here that if Paul wins, he's going to take Josh. I feel like that is true, and I feel like, I just feel it more than ever now. On the other hand, I can see Josh getting to the end, and I don't necessarily think that he would take Paul. I think that he would take somebody else, basically anybody who isn't Paul left at the end of the game. So I don't know. I'm very torn, and I'm also not sure that I totally agree with what Taryn said, and I'm not disagreeing with him just because he's Taryn. Disagreeing with him about the thing about the agency, about having agency in this game. I feel like that I don't know that juries, especially like modern day juries, I don't know that they even think about things like that. I think that, like, do I like this guy? You know, can I stand giving him the money? Okay, I'll give him the money.
I think that's the single most concept that I see said a lot that I really disagree with, because I really don't think that it's who do I like better, it's who do I respect more. And that often comes in who you like is often who you respect. But even if, and here's the problem, they don't even like Josh that much, but like it's really a matter of like whose game do I respect and who as a person do I respect. And I think the reason why we often see the conflicted player, because we see these conflicted players make it to the end all the time, especially in Survivor, they make it to the end and they give the conflicted speech, like, oh man, I really, you know, I was conflicted at this point, I didn't want to have to do this. They always lose, and I think it's because they're giving away their agency, and it's because they're saying,
I feel like it's usually women, though. I really do. I feel like it's usually the women in Survivor who give those, you know, like the, I didn't want to do this, you know, but I wanted, I'm your friend, I love you guys. I can't really think, maybe Wu, I guess, but he was up against such a juggernaut.
I actually think that the final two, and again, this is where it's interesting. Like, I feel like that Josh is such a emotional player, though, but I do feel like that in a positive way. I feel like that the finale emotion, especially if he wins the final three, like, I do feel like that he is somebody who really would be able to ride that momentum. Like, I could see him in the final two when they bring people out, like, what's going on, meatballs? I think that he would, like, really light up and rise to the occasion. And I do think that Paul would be the person who has so many balls in the air that I do think that he would end up coming across as the conflicted person of not really wanting to say who his favorites were. And I think that he could end up coming across more tentative. And I do feel like if it is a live tribal council or a final two, like we've been talking about recently, where people have not made up their minds going in, I do think that that night, I think that Josh would have more of an edge. But if the jury has already like made up their minds for whatever reason, and again, I think I have a hard time coming up with five votes for Josh against Josh to get over Paul because of all of the work that Paul has done over the course of the season. I it'll be interesting, but I do think that on finale night, I really could see him like being like a star in that moment.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw that too. And then I was very disappointed when I saw Josh on the feeds saying that in his final two speech, the main points, his main selling points are, I'm going to reveal that I had a secret alliance with Paul, and that's going to piss them all off. I'm going to say that I played an honest and straightforward game and that I did my best to maintain my integrity. And I'm just like, I really don't think this is going to work for you, Josh. I think there's a much better tactic, and I hope that he arrives to that tactic. But right now, it feels like he's really pushing himself toward
You know, you always compare him to Steve, and Steve had all these terrible speeches he was thinking of too early on. I remember listening to them on the feeds going like, that's never going to work, and it's like 4 minutes long. Like, you need to really retool that. And he eventually did, and I feel like that there is a way for Josh to get there. I just feel like that this is like, if Josh is Steve, and you've been saying that on the live update show, then
I've been saying he's not. I'm saying he's following in Steve's path, but Steve was doing much better in many different ways. And if you listened carefully, Brent, you would have heard.
Sorry.
I believe this morning in particular, I went through the whole list of why he does not compare to Steve. How Steve did it better.
Yeah, I guess. The one thing I will say I agree with Rob about is that Steve generally speaking, kept his emotions behind the scenes. Like, he would cry, like, when no one was around, and he would only, it seems like he would only get teary with Vanessa sometimes. I know after the double eviction, he got teary in front of everybody, the first double eviction, I mean. But generally speaking, he was pretty composed. I mean, he wasn't Josh, let's be honest. And Josh hasn't really been able to contain himself to anybody, anywhere in the house whatsoever. So I will take your point that people generally do want to go with the person they respect more, and Josh definitely has some work to do in that area.
Yeah, and that's something I pointed out, which was that, like, the moment where Rob called Steve a loser, like, he spent all night vomiting into the bathroom.
Hey,
like,
you
he
were
was
not
so
in my house.
About
you do
decision.
Not know what I did, Taryn.
But nobody knew how in turmoil he was in that decision. Vanessa was completely in the dark that he was very close to flipping on her. And even the jury didn't know just, like, how much turmoil he had. They just saw him as somebody who was able to, like, maintain this facade of, like, you know, I am loyal to Vanessa, and then bam, cut her right at the end. So I agree. I think that the fact that Josh is so much more open with his conflicting emotions, I think that's going to hurt him both in and outside of the house. Yeah.
For the record, that night that I said that Steve and Johnny Mac are losers, I never got more positive feedback on a Big Brother take in my entire life. People were like, Rob, you nailed it.
You were the voice of the fans.
I was not alone. Yeah,
sure.
I got to feel like what it's like to be Brent that night. I was like, yeah, everything. Yes, Rob.
Yes, everyone loves you in the moment, and then afterwards you're wrong and people make fun of you.
Yeah, but I'm never around for that part.
The one thing that I'm really confused about, though, you know, this moment right here where it was a great TV moment where Josh is like, you know, that mouth agape that he is like, wait, what? What? This is like the Kaiser Soze moment of, wait, hold on. Paul was faking it the whole time. How does he not know this, Brent? How did he not know? Like, they organized that we're going to have a fake fight. But then he thought that Paul was really crying.
I don't think he thought that Paul was really crying. I think he was just absolutely astounded.
Yo, what?
A little horrified by his part in this plan, and that he's with a guy who can sort of turn it on and turn it off as quick as you and I can just say, you know, lickety split. Like, I mean, that was so amazing. And I do think that the editors had a little fun with Josh's, you know, look. He did not stay like that for that long, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they just kept showing the same moment over and over again. Yeah.
What a great moment, though. Oh, my God.
Taryn, you concur with me here that, I feel like that Josh, while he was certainly aware of what's going on, I think he was just sort of stunned at the cutthroat nature of what Paul was doing, right?
I think that Josh was very emotional about voting Jason out. He was also pretty emotional about getting Raven out. And I think he saw Paul getting emotional about, he felt like, oh yeah, Paul is now in my position. He has to feel emotional because he just voted Raven out, and Raven trusted him, and Raven was crying on her way out. He's feeling what I'm feeling, even just a little bit. And then the second that Paul is, like, able to flip it around like that, he's like, oh my God, he wasn't even feeling that. Like, he is not even close to my level of emotions. Like, he is a sociopath. I don't know what to do with this. I think he was just stunned by the sudden turn.
But you know what you don't do with a sociopath? Let them know that you're onto them.
Yeah, but
that's the move.
But has he, though? Has he? I mean, I know you guys are ragging on him and thinking, well, you know, you don't want to let Paul in on your plans. I know he's voiced concerns to Christmas. She has not taken all of those concerns back to Paul, especially the part about that about Josh not trusting Paul or maybe thinking about cutting him sooner. So I do feel like that he has been able to stay his hand effectively enough so that Paul is not completely aware or really aware of the fact that Josh is thinking about getting rid of him.
But I think that speaks to more of a hole in Paul's game than it is, like, just because that Josh is doing something wrong and Paul's not picking up on it doesn't mean that Josh is doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think almost everyone in that house sees that Paul, that that Josh is willing to turn on Paul, except for Paul. And honestly, I think even Paul kind of sees it, but he's just so locked into this idea that Josh is the only person that he can beat in the end. He really feels like Josh is my easy win. I need to take him to the end. I think even if he, I think he even recognizes that Josh may not take him, but it doesn't matter to him because the guaranteed final two spot doesn't mean anything to Paul. He lost last year. He needs to guarantee that he wins the jury vote, and he feels like Josh is his only attempt at doing that. I mentioned it this morning that I feel like Paul has fallen victim to his own schemes because his schemes all season long have been... thank you. Have been convince everyone that you're in such a great spot. There's such a good master plan in place. You cannot deviate from this plan because if you do, you'll ruin your chances here. And he is able to sell them this beautiful plan. And what he did was, when he was talking to the cameras, one of the first times that I was like, oh, finally, Paul is talking to us. He sold us and himself this beautiful plan where he takes Josh to the final two and he wins. And he's believed in that plan for so long that he now feels like his victims, he can't deviate from it. If he does, he'll lose. So now he's stuck in this thing. And even though Josh is signaling to him over and over that this is a bad move, that he's going to cut him, he feels like, but I can't deviate. This is the way that I win. In many ways, Paul has played himself, as they are fond of
saying. You just played yourself, Paul.
I like that when Josh was like, after he said, like, I just lost the game, he's like, did I just play myself? Like, I like that he said, like, did his one of his catchphrases back to himself. Brent, buying or selling that Paul is buying his own hype?
Oh, I'm definitely buying that. I concur with Taryn that I don't understand why Paul won't reevaluate things. But in some ways, he's very much like Christmas, because Christmas is the same way, where like there are two peas in a pod. We're like, okay, we got a plan. Stick to the plan. Like, you don't want to go outside of the plan. We got a plan. You got to stick to the plan. We're a team. And I feel like that Paul has really bought into that, even though he was the one who was the one selling it in the first place. So it's like remember when you were telling everybody that they have to stick to the plan? Like, you were the one who told them that you don't necessarily have to do that yourself, but I agree that he seems to want to do that and take Josh to the end in the face of all the evidence otherwise that Josh might cut him.
Okay.
Past Paul is puppeteering present Paul. He's following the action set by past Paul.
Okay. The paradox. All right. Yes. So I want to talk about the BB Revengers. Now, first off, Brent, do you feel like, is this an indictment of BB19 that the characters were so uninteresting that they could not get their own comics? It's kind of a slap in the face, right? That this cast didn't get, like Alex is like, I've been looking forward to all season long to get my BB comics. And it's like, well, we're actually just going to recycle ones from All Stars.
Well, I feel like for the HOH competition that they were going to, you know, do something and recycle something from past Big Brother All Stars. But the veto competition, spoiler alert, I will just tell you guys, is the Big Brother comics competition.
Oh, okay.
Where they all got their own comic. And it's sort of a comic week. Like, they had that Hell Week a couple of weeks back. This is comics week. So,
they've built it out even.
Yeah. So the house guests eventually get their own comics during the VJ competition.
All right. I don't think anybody would have minded if they didn't give them their own.
That would be great. Sorry, yeah. We decided to skip this season. Y'all are so terrible.
Yes. Okay. Taryn, overall, what did you think of the Revengers film?
You know what? I thought it was kind of fun. I kind of enjoyed it. I know that, you know, the people involved were not everyone's favorites, but, it, you know, it had this, like, fun kind of B-movie feel to it. The acting was lovely and terrible, and so I enjoyed that. And always fun to watch Dan Gheesling, you know, control some
zombies. You
know
what's also very fun is to watch Austin Mattelson not even get mentioned during the trailer and not even have a line other than,
yeah.
I will say though, I feel like when like Dan had them all controlled and it was like, oh, who's gonna save us? Then Big Meech showed up. I really felt like it should have been Ian. I feel like that, like, Dan's one weakness. I just feel like that would have been
better. I was so bitter about the fact that they had Big Meech on the episode, but they didn't have Big Meech. It was just like the computer generated.
Was that a CGI Big Meech? Was the actual Big Meech not involved?
They should have gotten.
They like fly Big Meech out and then like.
Well,
that
they flew
was
everybody
role.
Else out. They flew freaking Caleb out. Frankie Grande. Why couldn't they fly Big Meech out? They flew Dan out and he's on like Big Brother 14. People on this cast don't even know who he is, besides Josh.
Yeah. Well, so what's your issue with Dan, that he was on too many seasons ago?
No, I have no issue with Dan. Obviously, I love the fact, I think his acting, he could have gotten into it a little bit more. And I obviously don't know how they missed the whole, you're dead to me. It should have been, you're dead to me, not, and you're dead. I mean, he said, you're dead to me during that iconic funeral moment, and he's called the funeral director. How do they miss stuff like this? Taryn, we should be running the show.
Clearly, yes.
Yes.
Dan, I mentioned this on the morning. I feel like the acting was intentionally.
I like this take also.
He's been advertising that he's such a bad actor on Twitter and on his Twitch stream. This is all a ploy. I watched the interviews they did with these people. They were all like, "Oh, Dan, he's so cool. He's the best. He's just playing these people."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he came in with the intentional you're saying he tried to throw the competition? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to throw the trailer. And then when he's in the house with these people, he's going to be like, you think I'm lying to you right now? Did you see how terrible of an actor I was in that trailer? And they're going to be like, you're right. You couldn't ruin your brand of terrible acting.
Yeah.
And it's going to work.
Yeah, Taryn, you're like throwing your boy under the bus. Like, why are you telling people all this? Like,
right.
Dan's listening to us right now going, Taryn, Taz, shut up.
Yeah. We'll see about that. The highlight tonight will be when the West Coast edition of Big Brother airs, and hopefully when Dr. Will weighs in on the movie trailer. That will be probably
good job
second best moment.
Nicole, Miss October Fist or whatever the heck her name is.
Yes, October Fist.
Oh, and Super Safety Girl too. Yeah, that she's like I actually know both of them very well. Like she was actually very, very fun.
Yeah, that was a good moment. But I was like, wait, am I supposed to know who this guy is? That it's like the one person that's in there that's not like they couldn't get Chicken George for that role or anything like that. I was really like,
Jerry.
This guy seems familiar. Is he an actor?
Oh, the funny part is that when they were asking the questions and they were like, who said this? I was actually looking for that guy amongst all the people in the cardboard cutouts. I'm like, oh, is he there too? Like, but he's not a revenger. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. So that was fun. We got to the HOH challenge where that people were, you know, everybody was deciding to throw it. I mean, it really is hard to build any drama out of these competitions when the fix is in.
Yeah. The drama every competition is, man, Paul, I'm so mad that this person might not be throwing it like I told them to do. Will they throw it? Find out when we come back from commercial.
Hold on. I'm getting so mad. I told them to get this question wrong, and now they got it right. What's going on here? What's happening? Is somebody not doing what I said? Oh, wait. They are. Okay.
I mean, like, I feel like they played it about as well as they could. I actually thought Paul was doing himself a little bit of a disservice by getting that first question wrong, because the first two questions were so flippin' easy, and he got one wrong. I feel like at that point, Alex had to have been aware that something was going on and that they were going to throw HOH. Taryn, had they told Alex that they were going to throw HOH to Christmas?
No, I think he told them after the fact, or told her after
the
fact.
Okay, well, I, if Alex wasn't on to him before with that Raven vote, I feel like she should have been on to him when he missed the first question, it being so easy. I barely paid attention to the trailer, and even I knew the answer to the first two questions, as did Kevin.
Yes, did Kevin, who thought about maybe making a run for it. I wouldn't have thrown it if I knew that Josh was going to get it. I wouldn't have given it to him. That's the last time I throw a challenge.
Oh, man, I love that impression. Yeah. That was actually something else that I learned. I think, you know, granted, we probably knew this, but it seems as though Kevin really is fully on board with just listening to what Paul says here. I thought maybe there was a possibility. I thought maybe there was a possibility that after last week when he was talking bad about Paul to Jason that he might have turned. But I guess the fact that he stayed through the double eviction, he really felt like, all right, well, I'm just going to listen to Paul.
It's so frustrating, too, when people say that, you guys, because it's like, you know, they say things like, well, he's never steered me wrong yet. First of all, he actually did when he told you that you wouldn't end up on the block. And then you did the previous week when he used the veto on Alex and they backdoored you, Kevin. Hello, don't you remember that Paul told you that wouldn't happen? happened, and yet you still ended up on the block. And oh, by the way, people never tell you that they're going to screw you over until they're ready to screw you over. So the fact that Paul has said, you know, everything he said, he's come through on. Well, I mean, that's going to hold true until he doesn't come through. And when he doesn't come through, you're out. It's so frustrating when people... I would never do that if I was on reality television. I would never say things like that. It just... It's such... Like, I've heard it like 19 seasons, Rob. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cut to...
Very frustrating.
We'll put this in the montage one day. Okay. Let's take some questions here from the listeners. Matt wants to ask, if Josh takes out Paul at Final Three, won't Paul just be pissed and convince the jury to give Christmas the win? Well, that's the thing about doing it at Final Three. He doesn't really have a, unless he like is able to, okay, everyone that I control, I'm telling you, do not vote for Josh. That's it. Like, Josh is Gumpy.
If you have ever seen the finale, they literally bring the jury, the eight members of the jury out. Then they say, you ready to meet juror number nine? Paul comes out, sits down, and they go right into the questions right then. So there's not going to be any time. Adam Paul.
The jury might walk off when they see Paul didn't win. I mean, that might be the production issue. Yeah. They might just like stage a walkout.
Yeah, Matt
like,
and Raven.
Nope, we're not doing this.
Matt and Raven. I've seen this before, Big Brother. I remember when Adam Paul on 13 was like, you know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to tell everybody what to do. I'm going to poison the jury. Girl, bye. Like, you don't have first of all, you don't have that much power. And second of all, you don't have that much time. It ain't going to work. I'm just telling you.
I feel like if Paul did go out at Final Three, he would be doing his absolute damnedest to like whisper in people's ears, like, no, you have to do what I say. But they would like, they would like seat him next to Cody or something. And, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about Alex? How much Coca-Cola does she drink in a day, Brent?
I don't know what you're talking about, Rob. Who would drink that much Coca-Cola?
She puts like a 2 liter today's bottle of soda, like a water cooler up to her face.
I drink a lot.
Never seen this before.
I mean, I don't know what's in Alex's past. I just know that this is my one vice. I have Coca-Cola, and you guys usually see me on it or drinking it.
Right, but
it.
You don't drink it out of a 2 liter bottle to your face.
My bigger question was earlier in the episode when Raven was leaving and said, you've done the din-din dog, and you stabbed me in the head and in the back and whatever the hell she said. Please tell me you have that on the soundboard somewhere.
You know what? I don't have that. I actually have from the other night that I didn't have the I didn't put the Thursday clips into the wrong thing. This was Raven explaining what she did in the game.
So I don't have any regrets. I would have gone in the house and done the same thing I did. There you go.
Which I love the Julie part of that. There you go. That was it.
I had heard the first part where she's talking about, you know, I did what Paul told me to do, or you know, I threw competitions to Paul or things like that. That's actually the more fun part. When she, can you play that one more time? Well, what did she say again? Like
she said.
So I don't have any regrets. I would have gone in the house and done the same thing I did. There you go.
I was so mad at her also the other night when she had to start talking crap about Kevin, of all people, that this was her talking about Kevin.
Yes and no. I understand why I'm keeping Kevin around. Hello, not much going on there. sorry, Kevin.
Screw you. What are you going to slam Kevin in your exit interview?
Yeah, and let's look at the competitions that you won, Raven. Oh, there's not here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not cool. Did not like that. Did not appreciate that. Also, though, I did like that Julie Chen gave us this the other night as well.
This competition is called Fake News.
So I'm very happy to have on the soundboard that we can now...
Fake News.
I like it.
All right. Edmo wants to know, who is your favorite Revengers character? A lot of people don't know this. Edmo actually got pop figures of all the Revengers already. He's already pre-ordered them online, Taryn.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
that was shade.
All right, Taryn, my favorite is Dan. Brent, who is your favorite?
Believe it or not, I'm actually going to have to go with Oktoberfest Nicole. I actually liked her acting with the guy at the table when she was like her Clark Kent self. You know, she was in disguise. Yeah. And then
they wrote her the best scene.
They really did. She had a good time with it, and I very much enjoyed it. Yes, and I've come around to the Nicole win after having to endure Paul for another season. Thank you, Mama Day.
It's like, Yeah, so you would have voted with me.
Yes, the Nicole voter. Right, nowadays I'm like, you go, Mama Day. We love you for that vote.
Okay. Stephanie says, I guess I am a quitter, Kevin. I stopped at two kids. Yeah. There you go. That's what Kevin said. That if I was a quitter, I wouldn't have had seven kids. We're stopped at two.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Pat Tad says, why doesn't Josh question Paul about him winning HOH instead of Josh? What would Paul's response be if Josh wanted to throw it to Paul? Yeah, that would be great to see if somebody that really was when Paul said, okay, you win the HOH, and then they threw it and made Paul end up taking it when he didn't want it.
I mean, I think Josh is perfectly capable of doing that. I think he would want to do that. The problem is that this week he was like, all right, you know what? You throw me the HOH then, just see what I'll do. If he had known that, like, if he had been like, oh, I'm going to do what Paul tells me to do if I win, then I feel like he would have been like, ah, you know what? Screw it. I'll throw
it
to you.
It was a competition where he could have thrown it, but he also maybe could have thrown it accidentally to Kevin. And I think he was probably worried about that. If it was a timed competition, that would have been something where I don't think Paul would have been able to throw it effectively to Josh if it was timed. And they've done timed HOHs before, I think, haven't they? Or is it usually vetoes? Actually, I'd have to think about that. Maybe they haven't done that with HOHs.
Okay. And then finally, BB Janie, why didn't Kevin gun for the HOH when he saw Christmas wasn't winning it? Well, you know, Kevin doesn't even know who these people are.
Right. Please.
Which one was that? It was the girl? With which one? Which was that guy, right? That guy was he was a contestant. Yeah. It says, no good. All right. Anything else you guys want to jump into before we do the live feeds?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Let's do the live feeds. I want to get to that. Some interesting developments to discuss. Of course, if you're jumping out here, we'll be back on Wednesday night and Thursday night. We have evictions coming up, both nights, right? We're going to get down from five to four and then 4 to 3 back-to-back nights.
Yep, Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. And then what's Sunday is shaping up to be the, hey, remember the time when?
It's probably going to be a clip show because the Emmys are on next Sunday, and I don't think they want to necessarily compete with that. Okay. Although they could. You never
know. They're going to start the HOH and then intersperse it with clips.
Yeah. And then, okay, I'm going to make my move against Paul soon. You'll see. It's coming.
Throughout the season, Josh saying that multiple times.
Hey, Meatballs, you remember when all the times I said I was going to vote Paul out of the game? Oh, yeah, that was great. I loved it. I don't remember any of that. It'll be a very exciting clip show. All right, let's talk about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
This is Alex with the coat. All right, she's just gulping down all the spoilers. Also, before I forget, let me wish a happy birthday shout out to my wife. Not that she would ever listen to a Big Brother podcast, but I do want to say happy birthday to the love of my life, Nicole Cisternino.
Yay, flop.
Yes.
She's certainly not listening to the spoiler section. You should have, obviously, she would have listened to the...
Before Wednesday. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. That she's probably like the Josh of like that. She's just like conflicted about like, I should get rid of Rob. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I can't take it anymore. This is enough. I've had it. He's the devil. I've seen him. Okay.
And then some fan sends her the clip of you wishing her happy birthday, knowing that she probably won't even listen. And then she's like, oh, for a brief moment.
Crying downstairs right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the spoilers. All right. So we had the veto competition. We end up with Paul winning the veto. Taryn, was this the plan?
Paul would have preferred if he didn't have to, but he needed to prevent Alex from winning it. He knew that, like we said, this was the comics veto. He won this one last time, I believe. And so, he knew that Alex was going to do really well and that he needed to beat her. And it turned out that that was true. She was only like 2 minutes behind him and everyone else was like way behind.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no way he would have rathered Kevin, won the power of veto, but Kevin actually timed out, during the BB comics and took the full 45 minutes. Apparently he's colorblind. I don't know if that's like fake news or not, but that's what he's been saying.
Fake news.
Right?
I believe it. I believe it.
I can believe it too. So once he saw it was a times competition, there was just no way. He had to go out and try to win it. And the bigger question was, once he won it, how is he going to spin it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
You know, that's why I read the comics. They don't need color. Okay. So let's talk about... So. There was a lot of talk during, we talked a lot this week on the updates about should Josh just take the shot this week? Ultimately, should he out everything to Alex? Potentially, if Alex won the veto, Taryn, those plans are off the board.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like he really was going to take that shot, but then, of course, Paul wins the veto, so even though he wasn't planning on it and he didn't really want to, it was actually pretty good that he did, for him at least, in terms of keeping himself safe. Then, of course, the problem was he had to tell Alex that he's going to be not using the veto. She was celebrating with him shortly after he won, because she was like, this is the best case scenario, we're both safe, and he was like, yeah, we are.
Fake news. So,
yes, fake news. Paul ends up today letting Alex know that I'm not going to be using the veto. I can't beat you, and I have to do this. It was a very long and emotional conversation.
Very gumpy.
And why? Well, there were discussions that happened beforehand where Paul wanted to have Josh and Christmas basically concur with him that, you know, if he used the veto on Alex, that they would not give Paul their jury vote if he got to the end with Alex. But of course, Josh was like, I ain't doing that, even though like two times previously he had like said he was okay with doing that. So Paul sort of like half-assed it when he went to Alex and said, you know, he did say to Alex Taryn that I don't think they're gonna, or they let me know, they've danced around it, that they won't give me their jury vote. Last time I lost, I can't take that again. More than anything, I have to win if I get to the end, and the jury would just laugh at me and say I'm doing the same thing. Of course, I know, as I tweeted, that if he had the veto last time and was able to save both him and Victor, he clearly would have done that. So he's actually trying to tell Alex with a straight face, even though Josh is the outgoing HOH and won't be able to compete in next week's HOH competition, I could save you and me and both of us go forward. I've been preaching friendship this entire time, but I ain't going to use the veto. Tell me how that makes sense, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he sold this was, as you mentioned, like, he tried to sell it to Josh and Christmas, like, tell Alex that you forced me to do this because you wouldn't vote for me in the jury if I did. And then he said to her, I will lose because you already have Cody, you already have Jason, I'm gonna lose Kevin, Christmas, and Josh. That means you're gonna beat me in the end. I can't do the same thing I did last time. I have to win this time. I don't wanna disappoint people. She said, I understand. On a game level, on a friendship level, it sucks. And at one point she even said, friendship is over, Gumpy. This is no good.
Yeah, friendship is a lie.
You have to understand,
is
that friendship is my brand. And if you take away my friendship, I'll be ruined. I'll have nothing.
Yeah. Yes, whoa. And to all of the people who are tweeting at me right now, yes, I recognized immediately after I said it. Nicole won the comics last time. That's why I said I think.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know. I didn't call you out on it because you said I think.
No, there's like 15 mentions already.
Because you said I think?
Tagging Nicole. Oh, Taryn didn't know you won the comic book veto, Nicole.
Okay. All right. Get a grip. All right, everybody. Let's just calm down for a second. Okay, it's been a long summer. It's been a long summer, everybody. But let's say, like, Taryn's been here for you every day. Leave him alone.
So basically this was very emotional. Paul ends up actually in tears after this conversation with Alex, and this is why I said that the scene where Josh recognizes that Paul is fake crying was actually gave some information as to what was happening here, because Paul ends up crying. He goes up to Christmas in the HOH room. She's giving him a hug, like, oh, I'm so sorry that you had to do that. I think this was genuine from Paul. I think this really hurt him. Like, again, he's never had to do this before. In in the history of his Big Brother game, he's never had to go up to someone and be like, yeah, I'm screwing you over. He has always hidden behind some kind of lie, and I think he genuinely felt bad about this. But of course, Josh is up in that HOH room like, this guy, I can't believe what he's doing right now. He was so pissed off about this. And then when Paul tells him that, yeah, actually, I told her that maybe it's because you guys won't vote for her in the jury, he was like, so mad. He was like, you know what? I want to try to keep Alex this week. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to keep Alex.
Okay. So what? The plan is to what? Split the votes to have, say Paul can give her a sympathy vote?
Maybe. My honest to God opinion is that after all of Josh's emotional turmoil that's happened in front of Paul and Christmas, and the fact that Alex, for some odd reason, is like saying to Paul's face, at first she was talking about a split vote. Now she's like, well, it's just one vote. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go home anyways. They're just going to send me home. So Paul is all like, well, if there's a chance that you could stay, I'm like, there is a chance that she could stay. Use the damn veto on her. That's how she could stay. But of course, Alex isn't me. It just frustrates me because I want these people to be, you know, I want them to, they don't have the same articulate abilities that other people do have. And they just, Alex isn't saying what she needs to say in this moment to make Paul either out himself. In fact, I don't think there's anything she could do to get him to use the veto, but she could at least expose him.
Yeah. Josh should not save Alex. He should not, because here's what will happen. That Alex will stay in the house and Paul will say, you see what I did? I saved you. I got you. I put the word out for those guys to keep you around. And I wanted to, as long as he's like one of the votes to, he could spin, even if he's one of the votes to send her out. And then he will win her back and Josh will go out before her. That's what will happen if Josh causes Alex to stay.
I heard this as well, Taryn. I just feel like this is Josh just acting out again in the diary room to the cameras. I know he wasn't in the diary room, but he also, you know, he acts out to the cameras. It's essentially the diary room because he's talking directly to us, where he's just like, you know, fine, I'll just go ahead. I'll just keep Alex this week. He's said things like this before. It's never come to fruition. I don't put anything outside of the bounds of normal thinking in Big Brother when it comes to Josh, because, you know, he's shown an ability to think outside the box sometimes, but I think this is just more crying wolf, and he's going to evict Alex if he has the chance, but I don't even think Paul will let it come to that because he doesn't trust Josh right now.
What you do?
So basically what Josh has been doing, another thing that happened today was Josh, after this whole thing, Josh went to Alex and said, I'm sorry, I want to be friends. Alex was like, don't talk to me. I don't want you to talk to me. Josh has been contemplating telling Alex everything, but she doesn't want to talk to him. So then Paul, of course, finds out that Josh went to Alex, and then Paul and Christmas berated Josh for, why are you talking to Alex? Why are you screwing everything up? Now she's even more pissed. This is crazy. And Josh is now saying, fine, you know what? Let's do the split vote plan. I'll take all the heat. I'll evict Alex. He's actively pushing for it now, to the point where Paul went to Alex and said, maybe I should vote for you. Maybe we should try a split vote. And Alex is saying, there's no point. I don't want you to. And so Paul is going back to Josh and he's saying, I don't think we should bother doing it. And Josh is like, no, we should really do a split vote. I think he really, at this moment at least, really feels like he wants to save Alex. And I agree with Rob. It's not a good
don't
move.
Do it.
At this moment he could feel anything. Josh does stuff like this. The other thing that's been happening this week is that Paul has continued on, Rob, with his want to keep a facade up for the jury all the way through the end of the game, including the final two. He is adamant with Christmas and Josh that they not out their final three alliance to anybody because, Taryn, why again?
There's no real
friendship
reason.
Paul obviously gave him a reason. It would get weird or something.
Yeah, basically, like, I mean, Christmas's reason is like, oh, it's going to be so hard in the jury questioning if they know the truth. They're going to really come at us. But I don't think even Christmas believes that. I think Christmas knows what Paul is doing and is just okay with it. And basically what Paul is
doing,
she's
in love
what
with
he
him.
Thinks is doing.
She is in love with him. You laughed.
Brett, for the record, I never disagreed with you that she was in love with Paul. See, I asked you to stop saying that she was dickmatized.
This is what Brent does. He claims that we disagreed with him when he's proven right, so that he can be like, "Ha, you guys were wrong." But neither of us said disagreed. I was saying that the footage that people were looking at was edited. That I do think she has feelings for him. So I just
want to point out also that I told Colin Stone, yeah, like I said that word, and then Rob repeated it later on in the podcast, and now you've said it again. So you've said that word more than I have.
I said it in the Kevin impression the first time. That's what set the record straight.
Anyway, I think Paul, I think he feels like, you know, if I get to the end, if they know that I screwed them over, they're not going to vote for me. So I need to keep them in the dark. And that's why he's giving these nonsense reasons.
Right, but he doesn't
as
know
to why he can't
what
be
he
exposed.
Doesn't know. And Josh is aware of this, too. I don't know if Josh knows that they're for sure showing his goodbye messages, but he seems to surely think so. He's like, look, I've got my goodbye messages and I've got my final two speech. Like, that's where I can really out everything that Paul's doing. He's using his... I would love for Paul to be shown right now that Josh is outing everything in his goodbye messages, even though he's saying directly to Paul, we shouldn't say anything about the final three alliance between you, me, and Christmas? Okay, I understand where you're coming from on that.
Pissed! Yeah. Okay.
Another thing, especially because we were talking about Josh and his jury chances, as mad as Alex was, she's been talking to Paul basically for the entirety of this podcast, and he's basically gotten to the point where she is not only promising him her vote, she's saying, I will make Jason vote for you. He will vote the same way, I promise. And he's also arming her with information against Josh, saying Josh never knew what to do with his HOHs. Josh, we told him what to do every time. He's done nothing. Alex is saying that she's going to go into that jury house campaigning for Paul and campaigning against Josh. He still definitely plans on taking Josh, but Alex has, even after she's learned what, I mean, the mostly truth, she has not turned on him quite
yet. Alex is so bad at this game, Rob. She's so effing bad at this game. It's so infuriating because she's literally helping Paul, like, to beat her in the game. She's like, well, you don't want to take Christmas because she could beat you. You don't want to take Kevin because he could beat you. You will sweep against Josh. Josh is the person you need to go to the final two against. Of course, I'm loving that because I'm a Josh fan and I don't want to see Josh get screwed over. Josh is in this really weird position. It was something that we haven't brought up is that Christmas may not be willing to take Josh to the final two. So Josh is willing to take Christmas. Christmas is willing to take Paul. Paul wants to take Josh. They're in like this weird three-way relationship where they all want to take each other but not the other person.
Well, that was something that really made me annoyed with Josh during the episode where he's like, you know, I'm not just thinking about my game. I'm thinking about my girl Christmas. It's like, well, your girl Christmas, all she cares about is Paul. She does not care about you. You are a distant third.
He doesn't think that anymore, though. At this moment in time in the episode, he was still thinking that Christmas would take him to the final two. I think he was totally under that assumption. Obviously, this week, Christmas told him to his face when he asked about it that, you know, I really haven't made that decision yet. I don't want to have to make that decision. I love you both. Oh, and by the way, Josh, you shouldn't take me to the final two. You should really take Paul because you can beat him. Like, Christmas, I agree with Taryn at this point. Maybe Christmas doesn't even want to win the game. I think Christmas's idea of winning the game is getting to the final three with her team. Just save me, Rob. Yeah. Save me.
And it's again a situation where like Josh is now recognizing that Christmas is going to take Paul, but he still isn't quite grasping her motivation here. He thinks that she can beat Paul, and that's why she's going to take Paul and not him. He thinks Christmas can't beat me. She can beat Paul. That's why she's taking Paul. He doesn't recognize that Christmas doesn't even want to win the game. I don't think he like remembers that she was like, no, don't take me, take Paul.
Yeah, all he remembers from that conversation is that she wouldn't take him. He doesn't remember the second part where she was like, you should take Paul.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he has a lot of misconceptions about like who will beat who in the end. We saw him say it like, I will beat Paul even though Paul will beat me even though he's a vet. I think Paul thinks that he can't beat Christmas, which is why he needs to take Josh, which is true of what Paul thinks. But obviously, I think all of us can agree that Paul would beat Christmas as well.
Yeah. Can I just share something with you guys that is really hilarious, but I just want to say I do not condone this at all.
It sounds like a mixed message. My kind of stuff. I like it.
Okay. But yeah, this is something that's really funny. But let me just make sure I can find it before I end up saying this. But it's
well, right. I do have okay. Another point to make quickly about this whole split vote situation. It is playing out as we speak. Alex is adamantly denying, like, don't do a split vote, Paul. Like, Paul is trying to push it because Josh is trying to push it. Like, this is so perfect for Alex's game because she could theoretically be very close to staying here if Josh decides to do the split vote plan and then save her, and she is going to actively be the reason she goes home this week after everything. She still has a lifeline, and she's still going to be throwing it away, which is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. As far as the why Josh doesn't remember about what Christmas's motivations are, you know, there was a little bit of a tease in the episode tonight where Josh was like, you know, I've been trying to tell Christmas the truth. Christmas really doesn't want to hear it. Honestly, Taryn, I really thought we were going to get the digmatized edit when we saw Josh saying, like, it doesn't make any sense why Christmas is acting this way. Dot, 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 dot. You know, didn't you think it was coming?
I didn't expect that, though that would have made sense. I was thinking about Alex's Twilight Zone reference, and I tweeted this out because it really felt like a moment in a Twilight Zone episode where Josh is finally realizing, like, oh my God, I'm the only sane person here. Everybody else is like some sort of doll or something. I don't know what's happening right now. That was another great scene. I really loved this episode, and I loved the double eviction as well. I feel like not only has it made for good feeds, but it's made for really good episodes, and I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, I've gotten that on the feed updates the last couple days about that. I feel like there's a little bit of excitement in your voice.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that you lost it, but you seem especially renewed.
Yeah, I would concur with that as well. I was actually sort of jazzed to see that Kevin basically paid attention during the trailer tonight and could have won the HOH competition. I'm somewhat hopeful that he could actually win a Final Four HOH if it's something where he just has to turn a block one way or the other. I think he was only 1 point behind Alex in the HOH competition during the double eviction. So, I mean, look, anything can happen. And I think it would be so funny if Kevin did win HOH, because I think Paul would almost certainly win the veto. And like Taryn, at that point, I think he might actually make a mistake again and choose to evict Christmas because he's...
Oh my God, he wants
to take Josh to the final two.
Oh man, that would just be ridiculous. But he totally would. He really feels like Paul, like Josh is his only chance here. And man, it's really gonna. It's again.
And Alex
he's being
is feeding this too. And I mean, again, it's terrible gameplay. But I'm a fan of Josh. So I love what she's saying. She's like, you know, you can't take Christmas. These are the people that would vote for Christmas. You can't take Kevin. He would beat you. You have to take Josh. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to hear. Yeah, Josh, more Josh.
All right.
Have you got it?
I do like that, they're all saying, like, Kevin can't win anything. Like, Paul has been telling you that he's been getting Kevin to throw, like, every competition for the last, like, 4 weeks. Like, don't you remember that? Like, aren't you a little bit scared of what happens when Kevin actually starts trying again? Because he has been throwing every single competition for a long time.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, the other thing too is that Paul is not going to be throwing Final Four HOH, so Kevin's going to have to beat Paul. But he could, but it'd have to be something really specific.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't. I can't find what I was looking for.
Oh my God.
I saw this. I'll just say what it was that I was looking on Because we've talked about Christmas's book for a long time, and so I wanted to take a look at it. And there was a pretty scathing one-star review that had been written about her book. And it was talking about, this is a terrible book, and she's a bad person. She's terribly mean to a starving old man.
It was like the book review was talking about how she's so mean to Kevin.
It was. I think they must have deleted it. People should not. That's not what the review section of these things are for. But it was. I was cracking up. All right. I need to have dinner with the birthday girl tonight. So anything else on this Sunday night episode?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, all right. Let's get to. Here's what's coming up. Season 35 castaway interviews from the preseason are up for Friday. I will have a new one up for you guys tomorrow morning with Simone and Patrick. Also, check out the new American Ninja Warrior power couple, Alyssa and James. Right, Taryn? Did I get that right?
Yes. I know who these.
Okay,
Alyssa. I know who these people are. Alyssa. I watched the whole damn thing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hey.
Alyssa Beard became the second woman ever to complete stage one in Vegas. Rising star.
Very, very fun episode, Taryn, I have to say. I know Alyssa completed the course, but two other women were so close to completing the course. I mean, it's really been like a big tectonic shift, I feel like, in terms of women athletes on American Ninja Warrior.
On Amazing Race Canada, they put bugs on people's head. Find out the reaction to that. And then, of course, Taryn will be back with the live feed update. Taryn, what time are the live feed updates?
They are at 10 a.m. Eastern on the weekdays. And then Friday through Sunday, they're at noon Eastern.
Okay, I got tweets today. Rob, why did you tell me that the live feed update was at 10 and it's at 12? I thought that's when it was on Friday. I'm sorry.
There's also another correction. I'm being told, and I'm looking at the schedule, it looks like this may be true, that there is no episode on Sunday.
Friday
the
night.
Clip show episode will be on Friday.
Okay. Aha! All right, so, I done told you the Emmys are here.
Be on the lookout for that Friday night for the kickoff of the three-part episode. And then LFC Roundtable coming up on Monday night as well. Only two LFC Roundtables left. And this Thursday, Andy Herron, again, scheduled to appear with us on that. I gotta say that with these podcasts, you know, we get the people, we book them, they tell us they're gonna be here, and then we keep our fingers crossed until we get to the show. That's how that works.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a symptom of doing live shows. Things occasionally come up. So always take it with a grain of salt when we announce a guest.
Okay. All right. Well, this is our we've had a couple of approaches for a landing with Andy this season. So let's see if we can. We've taken the reservation. Now let's see.
Yes, make sure you tweet Andy and tell him how excited you are for him to come on Rob as a podcast. I'm excited to do a podcast with him, actually.
Good. Because then guilt is always good. You make people feel, I'll feel guilty if I can't. Oh, then I don't want to let people down. Like, okay. All right. Good job tonight. Again, kudos to all of your work this season. Always admire how dedicated you guys are to the cause. So follow Brent on Twitter. He's at One Lucky Gay. And of course, Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Be on the lookout. More Survivor stuff dropping tomorrow. Plus, Josh Wigler and I are going to recap everything going on the kickoff of Fear the Walking Dead tonight as well. So be on the lookout for that. Looking forward to everything coming up. And send in your questions. bbfinale@robiswebsite.com. And don't send in questions like, how do you live with yourself? Because we're not going to do that, all right?
Also, I talked to Netta Kalantar for the Taryn Show coming up on Tuesday, yeah.
Yes. Did Brent come up?
Unfortunately not. Okay. That could have been a
Thank
fun
goodness.
Conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, very, very fun conversation. That I mean, not only did she was she, you know, one of the most popular players in Canada and then became the villain on a returning trip.
She was
trip.
One of the most popular. Oh, hi. Sorry. Love you, Netta.
But also, she grew up in Iran, so she had a lot of great stories from that as well. So very interesting conversation.
Great job.
Netta.
I look forward to it every week, Taryn. Wonderful job. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Have a good night, everybody. And thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care. Bye.